What's up, everybody? This is episode 65 of the Clappercast. This is October 12th, 2020. And as always, I'm joined by my host, Sean. Sean, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. You know, I'm pleased to announce that I now know that Josh Anderson is not a small physical forward. He's actually 6'3". So, you know, just want to clarify from last week when I kept calling him small and physical.
Yeah. I think he probably got it mixed up with Cam Atkinson.
That is very likely.
Anderson's kind of like Tom Wilson light, almost.
Probably a solid comparison.
Yeah, the deal that he got in Montreal is worse than Tom Wilson's.
very much so.
But yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of action since our last episode where there's been a lot of trades and a lot of free agents. So without, I guess, too much messing around here, we should dive in. We've got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we're going to serious episode today.
Yeah.
Right down to business.
As serious as we get here, yeah. So let's jump into some of the trades because there's a lot of free agents to go through, so if we get these trades out of the way, we'll have a lot of time left. So pretty much right after we recorded our last episode, the New Jersey Devils
or the
acquired
New Jets.
New Jersey Devils acquired Ryan Murray from the Blue Jackets for a 2021 fifth round pick. So the Blue Jackets just continue to shed cap and acquire picks because they got rid of a lot of picks, so getting them back. So
yeah, I mean, not bad. Like, I guess Murray doesn't play a whole lot because he's always hurt, but they got $4.6 million cap space. They didn't have to retain anything for that, so they can find something to do with that extra money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then Paul Stastny coming back to Winnipeg. Vegas traded him to Winnipeg in exchange for defenseman Carl Dahlstrom and a conditional 2022 fourth round pick. I don't know the condition on that pick. Do you know what it is?
It cap friendly isn't probably showing it yet, so I don't know if it's either not released or they just don't have access to it. I'm gonna
probably
see
something
what
to
it
do
is.
Playoffs, right? Like more
usually is, or it's like oh, we can move it to this year if we want to.
Yeah, for sure. Senators acquired Austin Watson in exchange for a 2021 fourth round pick from the Nashville Predators. Bottom six forward, another roster player. Ottawa's trying to get up to the floor, I guess.
They also now have three or four forwards signed for next season, so that's probably good as well.
Yeah, that's they've got a line. Making progress.
They have a line.
I thought this one was kind of weird. New Jersey acquired Andreas Johnsson from the Toronto Maple Leafs for forward Joey Anderson. I don't know who Joey Anderson is, but Andreas Johnsson is a good top, like middle six guy in Toronto. So I guess he was kind of like the odd man out.
Yeah, that had to be an entirely cap dump trade, right? Yeah, $3.5 million or something.
We'll
for
get
Anderson,
to
yeah, or John.
We'll
Johnson.
Get to what they've done with that space when we talk about the free agency, and then a couple more trades here. So the Chicago Blackhawks acquired defenseman Anton Lindholm and defenseman Nikita Zadorov from the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for Dennis Gilbert, defenseman and forward Brandon Saad.
Yeah, that's a good addition for their second line, I think. To have Kadri and Brandon Saad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they also re-signed Burakovsky, which so
that's
their second line's going to be good.
They're set.
And then Zadorov heading out to Chicago. Chicago bolstering their defense. I think that's going to be a good place for him, you know, especially since they got rid of defenseman scoring extraordinaire Olimata.
Zadorov might not score as much, but they do get the physical presence of Zadorov. I don't know if he's the greatest at defending. He seems to get a lot of flack for his play, but I mean, it'll work out fine for them because they just get a reliable physical defenseman for their back end.
Yeah. Now, imagine what the hell is happening to this league? This guy doesn't score as much as Olimata does. Like what?
It's pretty wild. This one for Chicago too. I want to mention that it sounds like trading away Saad pissed off some of the Blackhawks core. That I think like Taves and a couple others were kind of distraught or shaken that they broke up that core again.
Well, yeah, wasn't that the whole thing in that original Panarin trade? Is that they wanted to get Saad back because
I remember that being a big
Taves
deal.
Loved him or something. Yeah. So I guess they're saying, you know what, you don't dictate the roster decisions anymore.
I am the boss here.
Ship him out. And then the last trade is that the Colorado Avalanche acquired defenseman Devon Taves in exchange for a 2021 second-round pick and a 2022 second-round pick to the Islanders. So shipping out Zadorov and bringing in Devon Taves. So any thoughts on that one?
I think Taves is a overlooked but solid defenseman, and I think he'll be pretty good for Colorado.
Yeah, I think that's a good pickup for them. All right, well that's the trades. So maybe let's switch back over to free agency, since there's been honestly a lot going on.
Oh, so much. I've been spamming Instagram crazy. For the last like 3 days.
It's going to be wild to see how different every team is going to be next year. Like, it's going to be unbelievable how much movement there is. It feels like a lot this year.
It does, especially so in net.
Yes, definitely. So we mentioned that Anderson trade the last time, but just to recap, he got signed pretty much right after that for a 7-year, $5.5 million contract, so... That's a lot of money.
That is a lot for someone. Like, let's be honest, his track record is still relatively unproven. You know, he had one good season, one full year in the NHL, split a couple years in between the NHL, AHL, and he spent pretty much all of last year hurt and had like a handful of points. I think 5.5 for 7 years is a huge gamble for a player like that.
Yeah, it's a weird signing, and I mean, not to get too spoilery, but the Montreal Canadiens signed Tyler Toffoli and they paid him less than this. So is Anderson worth more than Tyler Toffoli?
Looking at the track records, looking at the performance in the past, like, I would say no, but I wonder what type of metrics they have behind the scenes to find this value out.
I don't know. It's weird. I guess moving on here to another Montreal signing is that they re-signed Victor Mete for a 1-year, $735,000 deal. I guess I don't watch the Habs that much, but I thought he was more like a better or more valuable than that.
Same here, to be honest. I kind of see him as quite a solid player. He seems to be relied on. He plays, as far as I'm aware, he plays a decent amount of minutes as well.
Yeah, I thought that one was kind of weird. It's so low, but maybe it's a, you know, prove yourself and we'll pay you more in a year. I don't know. Very strange. And then Chicago, they re-signed Dominic Kubalik. I absolutely love this deal for them. I think it's a great, great bargain. So Dominic Kubalik for 2 years at $3.7 million. So I think that's great for them. Kubalik obviously was in the Calder race. Big heavy shot guy. Plays in the power play.
Yeah, so I think they're expecting out of this one is that he turns into a more multi-dimensional player, because I think last year he was basically just a power play shooting specialist. So I think 3.7 kind of covers that, and then over the next 2 years they're like, okay, you can develop the rest of your game now.
I think he did have quite a bit of even strength goals.
I think you're right.
At least compared to Olofsson.
I think you're right.
He had. But he did play the power play and was kind of the trigger man for sure. Chicago also re-signed Malcolm Subban, backup attendee, for another 2 years for a pretty cheap deal. Toronto actually made some headway here on the same day as these signings, as they signed Wayne Simmonds, so local guy, to a 1-year, $1.5 million contract. And what I like about this one is that Wayne Simmonds actually came out and said, I was actually a Detroit fan growing up, so there won't be any pictures of him in his pajamas and his sheets
might be a,
growing
might
up.
Might be a
so
Leafs logo being used as a dartboard
love that
in his bedroom
him.
Or something, but...
yeah.
No, hey, I mean, this is a...
But definitely a local guy.
This is a decent one for Toronto, too. It might be Kyle Dubas finally realizing the same thing that Tampa Bay did last year and bring in kind of a leader, a gritty veteran leader type. And, I mean, $1.5 million, that's a pretty good, you know, pretty good price for a player like that.
There's going to be a lot of these where we say something similar, where it's bringing in kind of a veteran guy and a great deal. The next one of those is the next signing that happened was Detroit signed Bobby Ryan. We were kind of like... you know, singing the woes of Bobby Ryan in our last episode when he got bought out, and saying that it was kind of a shame, but he got signed for a $1 million 1-year contract with Detroit. This could probably be like a, you know, kind of a deadline bait guy if he has a good season in Detroit.
And you mentioned if he has a good year, he's going to get a great chance to have a pretty pretty good year in Detroit, because he's going to be probably pretty high up the depth chart compared to if he had signed in and other teams. So he's going to get a lot of time. He's probably going to get power play time. And yeah, I mean, again, he's going to be looked at to kind of help transition the team into a new era, basically.
Tampa Bay Lightning re-signed Patrick Maroon for 2 years, $900K cap hit. That's good deal. So it's confirmed that Tampa's going to win the cup 2 years in a row, yeah. 3 years in a row now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the trend for the last 2 years. So I think it's confirmed now. There's no need to play the next two seasons. Just give Tampa the cup.
Yeah, back to back to back to back to back. They also re-signed Luke Shen for another year, so just another depth guy for them. The Canucks signed Tyler Motte. My TSN stat page here is only showing the length as 2 years, not the actual contract information. Do you know the salary on that one? Was it reported?
I'm scrolling up right now. Tyler Motte, 2 year, $2.45 million, so $1.225 million per year.
Okay, that's
solid
deal.
Good.
For them.
He's a really good depth player. He kind of had a breakout series in the playoffs there, where he was absolutely on fire. So he kind of developed a bit of a fan favorite status over that, and now he'll get to continue helping out at a really good price for the team and probably pretty good contributor to the lineup in the locker room as well.
The Florida Panthers acquired Radko Gudas. They are signed Radko Gudas. 3 year, $2.5 million deal. So that's I'm happy for Dadko. He gets to stay somewhere for a while. Again, Florida kind of bolstering their defense after getting rid of Matheson.
Now, the important part about Radko Gudas is, does he know how to play forward?
Yeah, because they Pisick ended up
the Florida needs a new forward slash defender on their roster, so Gudas might have to be right wing or something coming up.
Detroit signed John Merrill, defenseman who was with Vegas, 1 year, pretty cheap deal. Really, all you got to know is that he's got excellent flow. He's got a nice mullet that he can bring into.
Should get a couple million for that, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Florida also signed Carter Verhaeghe, so Verhaeghe's on the move from Tampa. 2 years, $1 million per year. This next one that happened was another one of the goalie moves. So Henrik Lundqvist, who was bought out by the Rangers, signed a 1 year, $1.5 million contract with the Washington Capitals. And I love it. I think it's good. I think he'll be a solid, you know, backup or kind of like a number two, I guess, for the Capitals to let Samsonov kind of get some more experience and some more starts now that Holpe moved on. I'm optimistic about what he can do, but I'm nervous for the defense of the Capitals.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of called this one. Washington was one of my top candidates to make a run for Lundqvist, so I'm not surprised he went there, and it's going to be a great mentorship for Samsonov to have the king come and guide you into a starting position. You mentioned the defense question marks, and we're gonna have more talk about that later based off one of the other signings, but you know, maybe we'll be able to see a bit of a resurgence for Lundqvist for a year. Maybe Samsonov can play most of the games very quickly. We'll have to kind of wait and see on there. But either way, good mentor for Samsonov.
Minnesota Wild acquired Cam Talbot, or signed, not acquired. Gotta say that.
I mean, you're not wrong. They did acquire.
3 year deal for a total or a average annual value of $3.67 million. So, I mean, that's probably pretty fair value for Talbot if he plays like he did in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he should do pretty good in behind Minnesota's defense as well, because they're solid defensively. It's just, you know, the goalies had kind of let Minnesota down, and now Talbot, who sort of struggles when the team isn't very good defensively in front of him, he should actually be okay in Minnesota right now.
Yeah. The Edmonton Oilers signed Kyle Turris, who was bought out from Nashville on a 2 year, $1.65 million per year deal. So what do you think about that one?
I actually really like it because he's a really cheap and affordable option to hopefully bring the team some depth scoring. I mean, he's a guy who puts up 40 points a year typically, somewhere in that range, and he'll be able to slot right in on 3C, put Nugent Hopkins up in the top six, and probably take on some penalty killing duties as well. So I'm quite happy with this one.
Cool. Nathan Beaulieu re-signed with the Jets, so he's staying there at a pretty reasonable $1.25 million. And then the Canucks. So this one came out first, is that they signed Braden Holtby to a 2-year, $4.3 million per year deal. So this kind of signaled to everybody, okay, Markstrom's moving on. I like Holtby. He's kind of been shaky the last couple of years with the Capitals defense, as we mentioned before. Apparently the deciding factor for him to sign with the Canucks was the goalie coach there. So I'm optimistic that they can work well together and get his numbers back up. And I think that Demko and Holtby is going to be a really good tandem.
Yeah. So I think there might be some struggles for Holtby early on, especially because you said he's been shaky and behind a bad or, you know, questionable defense in Washington, and Vancouver doesn't exactly have much better on the back end. So there might be a little bit of growing pains there, but it's a good value contract for a goalie of Holtby's with Holtby's resume. And it's a good length as well to help be a bridge for Demko to properly make a transition into a starting goalie instead of just being thrown to the Wolves this season.
Yeah. Dallas Stars re-signed Anton Khudobin. 3-year, 3.3.
He is going home.
He's staying home. So I think that's a solid deal for him.
You know what? He had an amazing playoffs, and now he gets like the longest and most secure contract of his career. So that's actually a really good reward. I'm super happy for the guy.
Yeah, me too. And the next goalie deal is Matt Murray signed with Ottawa after he was traded, a 4-year, $6.25 million per year deal. What do you think about this one?
if we had video right now, you'd see my eyebrows are like through the ceiling.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money for Matt Murray. Like I think that was the highest amount a goalie got this offseason.
Yeah, and I think it's probably
payoff
money, because it's like, we're gonna be bad. We want you to stay. We're gonna overpay you to stay on a bad
Senators
team.
Senators are bribing Matt Murray.
Basically, like, we'll pay you as much as, you know, you want so that you stay.
Yeah,
because it's gonna suck.
I mean, he's a decent goalie. He had one bad season. He's got two cups. He's coming in on a bad team. They have money, so like, it makes sense. It's just gonna be a bit of a bad one if he doesn't happen to turn it around in a couple of years.
So your pick for a guy who was bought out to make a difference, Alexander Wennberg, signed with the Florida Panthers, 1 year, $2.25 million. So, and do you think he's gonna be a difference maker in their lineup?
I think he's going to get a better chance. He'll find his way out of John Tortorella's doghouse. It'll let him, you know, Quenneville's a really good coach, might be able to kind of rekindle that confidence in his game, because he is a decent player. He's a good passing mind. He can create plays, and he might actually get a decent shot in Florida, because their scoring depth kind of falls right off, if I remember, after Huberto and Barkov. So he'll get a decent chance in the top, or probably the midline forwards, to make a difference there.
Tyler Pitlick signed with Arizona, 2 years, $1.75 million. Tyler Ennis signed a 1 year, $1 million deal with the Oilers. So he was traded there the deadline last year.
Yeah.
So what do you think about him coming back for a full year?
He was very impressive in his short time at Edmonton before he got injured in the postseason. And his speed, his versatility in the lineup, he can kind of play anywhere. And his tenacious play was really impressive. So I'm glad they're bringing him back for another year to get an actual shot in Edmonton.
Mark Borowiecki, Borocop, signed in Nashville. 2 years, $2 million per year. So he's on the force in Nashville. Wonder where he's going to fit in to their defense. Probably bottom pairing. Jack Johnson, another bottom pairing guy, ended up signing a 1 year, $1 million deal with the New York Rangers. So
hey, the Rangers just got an excellent third pairing defenseman. Real
for the AHL.
Ouch. Listen, yeah, it's kind of Rangers. Weird. They don't have many defensemen.
I don't get this one for them. I know that they are kind of mid-rebuild, but seems like it's going a lot faster than they might have thought it would. So I don't get this signing a super slow, bad D-man. But it is what it is. Kevin Shattenkirk coming off the Stanley Cup win. Kind of cashed in after being bought out last year. He signed with Anaheim Ducks for a 3-year, $3.9 million deal per year. So good for him to kind of bounce back and cash in.
Yeah, that's the completion of his redemption arc, really. That's he had a good bounce back year after being bought out with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now he's going to be probably second pair. He's going to get some decent chances in Anaheim to be an important defenseman on their rebuild now.
Matt Benning, who was kind of a depth D-man for the Oilers, signed a deal in Nashville for a 2-year, $1 million per year deal. Kind of an odd man out situation. Disappointed.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed Edmonton didn't retain him, because he is a very, very reliable third-pairing defenseman, and he's actually really good at what he does in that role. So I'm really sad to see him leave Edmonton, and Nashville just got a very tenacious and solid third-pairing defender. So he's going to be a good fit for them with their defense.
Justin Schultz signed with the Washington Capitals. 2 years, $4 million per year. So Washington continues their streak of signing former Penguin defenders. And I think this one's going to be the worst one yet. Niskanen and Orpik worked out, but I don't have a lot of faith in Justin Schultz, especially not at $4 million per year. He seems kind of like a budget, and I use the word budget generously, John Carlson, where he can play the point on the power play. But, I mean, he really struggled in Pittsburgh in the last year. I know he's had his injury troubles, but I was just cruising on the Penguins subreddit, and they were all ecstatic that he was moving on and that the team didn't sign him. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's very expensive, and the team needs defense, not more offensive defensemen.
Yeah. Especially looking at the free agent lists and the signings, there really isn't that great of a class of defenders this year. So it'd be hard to find like a good defensive defenseman to bring in to help solidify that. I'm also mostly just confused or concerned that they had the $4 million to dump on Justin Schultz, but they wouldn't spend that same amount to keep Braden Holtby unless they really wanted to move on from him, which kind of disappoints me.
Yeah. So they, and Radko Gudas moved on too.
I mean that he's a more defensive defender on his end too. So
I just don't have a lot of confidence in the defense. We'll see what Laviolette will do, if he changes the system up and maybe can get through to Schultz. You don't need to be a super offensive D-man. I don't know, but $4 million, though, that's a lot. So I'm anxious about this deal. At least it's only 2 years, so if it's bad, maybe they can flip him, or maybe they can just let it run out. It's not that big.
Maybe
deal,
ends up being expansion draft bait after this season.
Yeah, that's true. And then kind of the biggest, one of the biggest signings so far is Jacob Markstrom leaving Vancouver, signed with the Calgary Flames on a 6-year, $6 million contract. So what do you initially think about this deal, Sean?
I like Markstrom, the goalie. I don't like the contract at all, and I'm glad that Calgary got saddled with that one. And I'm also annoyed because Markstrom is always very good against Edmonton, and now Edmonton's going to have more trouble beating Calgary.
That's fair.
And on your end, as you're a Canucks and Markstrom supporter, how do you feel about him going to Calgary?
I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. I'm happy for Markstrom that he gets paid and gets some security. 6 years, $6 million, he gets to cash in the one time he can. But I would have liked him like to see him stay in Vancouver or at least go to another team that I like. I'm not a huge Flames fan. It was probably a good move for the Canucks to move on from that because that is a big contract.
Yeah.
And obviously they wanted to move on with Demko. And, you know, the Canucks are probably, at least Jim Benning's probably a little hesitant to sign a 6x6 after the Louis Erickson thing. So,
fair enough.
I like Markstrom a lot, and I don't like the Flames, so I'm not super pumped about it. I would have preferred if he went to Edmonton, but
I wouldn't
know that
Edmonton deal offered him a 7x5 contract, 7 years, $5 million per year, and I did not want Edmonton to get saddled with that one.
He's a good goalie, though, man. He's amazing
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on then. I guess the next one of note here is that the Toronto Maple Leafs signed TJ Brody for a 4-year, $5 million per year deal. So definitely bolstering their defense, finally.
He's an actual guy who can play defense, so that's probably a good ad for them.
Another left-hander, though, but definitely a solid defenseman, so I think this is a smart move for them. And, you know, spend money on defense. Do it, finally.
Yeah, after how many years of all offense, no defense.
Yeah. These ones aren't major deals, but just Buffalo kind of signed a lot of depth guys. They got Matt Irwin on defense. They signed Toby Reeder forward and Brandon Davidson defense. So two former Oilers there. A guy actually from Victoria too, and Matt Irwin. So adding some depth, I think is good for them. More to come on Buffalo. Torrey Krug, this was a big kind of surprise to a lot of people. He signed a 7-year, $6.5 million per year deal with the St. Louis Blues. I myself had him pegged as staying in Boston. How about you?
I didn't think he was going to stay after seeing kind of, it seemed like there was not, I don't want to say a falling out, but they didn't really seem interested in keeping Krug, and Krug was kind of accepting of that. I figured he was going to go elsewhere. I didn't expect St. Louis, especially when they were still in the middle of negotiating for Alex Pietrangelo. And we'll get to Pietrangelo later, as he's now signed as well. But, once Torrey Krug signs in St. Louis, it's like, okay, well, I guess that means Pietrangelo is not coming back for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, in terms of the fit, like, Krug's a solid defender. He's going to immediately be one of their top guys, if not the best one. And for, what is it, $6.5 million per year? That's a really good price for him as well. So,
yeah.
Pretty good one all around there.
Flames weren't done. They lost TJ Brody, so they signed Chris Tanev from Vancouver Canucks.
Across trade there.
Yeah. 4 years, $4.5 million. That's a lot.
That is a yikes contract, pardon me.
I don't blame the Canucks for moving on from Tanev if that's what he was looking for. That's a long time and a lot of money for a defensive guy. But he's a great defenseman. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, he's an absolute warrior. Like, he is a warrior on defense, so it's like, it's, he's going to be good on their defense. It's just that contract is a little bit on the high end.
It's going to be sad for Canucks fans to watch games against the Flames when Markstrom and Tanev are both there.
And Domingue.
That's going to be rough. Yeah. And Domingue, the MVP. Corey Crawford, it came out that Chicago was going to re-sign him. He ended up signing a 2-year deal with the New Jersey Devils for $3.9 million per year. He's going to play second fiddle to Mackenzie Blackwood, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Be kind of a similar thing as Lundqvist in Washington, just kind of be that mentor for a younger goalie and play, you know, maybe like a third or something of the games or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a good one for the Devils and for Crawford. So you know, he gets a chance to kind of not be the guy, as he's dealt with a lot of injury issues, and he still gets to be, you know, useful and productive to a team by being a leader and a mentor for a young goalie.
Absolutely. Kind of mentioned this one before, but here's the details. Is Andrei Burakovsky re-signed with the Colorado Avalanche, 2 years, $4.9 million per year. This seems like a lot of money for Burakovsky, to me, just as someone who's watched him play on the Capitals, but it seems like he's really kind of nicely fit in Colorado.
Yeah, he had a very good season as well. He had 45 points mm-hmm. in 58 games, which is, that's legit second line production, and, you know, 4.9 for a second liner is a fair price.
Yeah. When he was in the Capitals, it was always consistency, so I wouldn't be surprised if he only gets like 30 points this season.
Yeah.
But again, happy for him to cash in. Thomas Greiss signed with the Detroit Red Wings. So moving on from the Islanders, 2 years, $3.6 million. Yzerman was actually making a lot of cheap signings for a short amount of time. We'll mention some other ones, but I think they're doing a great job at kind of getting this team back together, and I think they'll be on pace for
putting some actual NHLers on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially this one. I was really hoping that Thomas Greiss would be a target for the Oilers in net. Ultimately, they didn't have the money for him for reasons we'll talk about later. But for Thomas Greiss to go to Detroit, it gives him a chance to be, I'm assuming he's going to be their main guy right now. I don't think they've really got anyone else better than him. It'll be interesting to see, because he's been behind the Islanders, who are an insanely good defensive team, and he's going to go to Detroit, who are not. So, well, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep up that level of play from the last couple seasons in Detroit here.
Yeah, I imagine that he plays more than Bernier, but it'll probably all depend on who's playing better. But I think, yeah, great signing for Detroit. Pretty cheap and pretty short, so, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's not that big of a deal. Team's not going to do amazing anyway, probably, so great little signing. Craig Smith, most generic name in hockey, he signed with Boston Bruins, a three-year, $3.1 million per year deal.
He's a very Boston player, so I'm not surprised. I think he'll be a good fit there.
Yeah, some, you know, secondary scoring. The guy he's really streaky, so if he's playing well, he'll get a lot of points and then probably be invisible for some time. Jordan Greenway re-signed with the Wild, 2 years, $2.1 million. I don't know a lot about Jordan Greenway. Do you have any thoughts on this signing?
He has a lot of potential around him, and it's you're kind of waiting to see if he can ever, like, have a true breakout, because he's like 6'6", 225 pounds. He's a massive player, and he's a forward. He could be like a modern day power forward, but other than that, he's just been a solid, you know, bottom six forward for the Wild. So it's a count.
Another guy leaving Vancouver, Troy Stetcher, came out that Vancouver wasn't gonna qualify him. So he signed as a UFA with the Detroit Red Wings. 2 years, $1.7 million. That's a great, cheap deal for bottom pairing.
And he's going to get an amazing opportunity to, same thing as Bobby Ryan, he's going to get an amazing opportunity to have a standout year and cash in on it in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, for sure. And this is kind of, this one was one of the first for guys leaving Vancouver. It was like, you didn't want to offer that much for this guy. You're gonna let him walk for
like that's not an insane amount of money, and they've already just lost Chris Tanev, and they don't have the greatest defense to begin with, so you're gonna let another defenseman go for that cheap and you don't have anyone coming in. That's a head scratcher.
Yeah, weird. Keeping on the D line here, we had Tyson Barrie sign a 1 year, $3.75 million deal with the Oilers. So I'll pass it to you. What do you think about this one?
It's going to be nice to have an actual offensive defenseman on the blue line. The Oilers have had problems for years with not being able to have any offensive production from their back end. So they're going to bring in Tyson Barrie, who can't play much defense, but at least he's going to be able to you know, provide an offensive punch for one of their top two lines and also lead the first power play and hopefully do a really good job at making the league's best power play even better. So that could be a decent one. The circumstances are unfortunate because they're losing Oscar Klefbom and had to bring in someone else to replace him. But for what's $3.75 million on a one-year deal, like that's actually really good for what he might be able to provide.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, you can always trade him at the deadline maybe.
Yep. Yeah, if Klefbom's back by then, absolutely.
I think he's going to be a real target for fantasy playing on that power play.
Yeah.
I think it's going to – should work really well. Yep. Oilers also re-signed Mike Smith for a one-year, $2 million deal. So, again, what do you think of that one?
So, I wanted an upgrade in net, as I mentioned before. I wanted them to target, like, Thomas Greiss or Anton Hudobin to come in. Unfortunately, because of Oscar Klefbom being out, they needed to switch up their plans and focus that money on getting a defender, someone who can play top 4 minutes. And that's why they had to stick with Mike Smith. Mike Smith, he did fine in the regular season. He was mostly reliable. He only had a few big gaffes, a couple of bad games here and there. But the trouble I see is that it's a short-term fix, that they don't have anyone who's going to be ready after this 1 year is up, and we, you know, is how are they planning the game breakdown? Is it going to be like 60-20, or are they planning on going 40-40 again? Because I don't know if Mike Smith is going to be able to keep up with that much as he gets. He's like 37 or 38 now.
Kevin LeBanc finally making more than $1 million. He signed a four-year deal at $4.725 million AAV. So cashing in. It's kind of funny after... I believe he did worse this last season than he did the previous, but I'm kind of glad for him that he ended up getting paid after taking that significant discount.
Yeah, that must have been a legit thing in the back end that was like, okay, you'll take this year, and then we'll give you this much next year or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, moving along here. Jesper Fast. Signed a three-year, $2 million AAV deal with the Hurricanes. So New York Rangers just love going to Carolina, I guess. So why not another one? Cody Eakin signed with Buffalo. So Buffalo, again, picking up a more of a middle six, bottom six, I guess, kind of guy. Cody Eakin, two-year, $2.25 million.
I'm pretty sure Eakin's a really good penalty killer, too. So he's going to be able to come in and give them – you know, another aspect of their game, a little bit of an improvement.
Yeah, and I think they desperately need somebody like that, where it's more of a, yeah, you know, 200-foot player.
Yeah, nice, so, reliable, so defensive two-way forward.
Travis Boyd, this is probably nobody who watches the Capitals doesn't know about Boyd, but he was always a fringe guy between the NHL and the AHL for the Caps, so depth guy. He signed with the Leafs 1 year. Cheap deal, but I think this is really good depth for the Leafs because he plays center, he can play wing, he's always a good call-up guy. So I actually kind of like that one a lot for the Leafs as someone who's watched Boyd. I always thought that he never really got a fair shot of cracking into the Caps lineup. Buffalo also re-signed Brandon Montour on a one-year deal, $3.85 million. I don't know. Seems okay. Not a lot to say about that one.
It's a good price for probably someone who's going to be mid defensive. You know, he's okay. He's not like star defender or anything, but he'll be enough to get them by. And again, like, they just need players who can do that type of thing right now as they work on filling holes better.
Capitals signed Trevor Van Riemsdyk on a 1 year cheap deal. Believe he's a right-handed D-man. So yes, he is. So
yes,
I actually like that. Just bring in some cheap right-handed D-man.
He'll be a good, bottom pairing guy for them.
Yeah, definitely. The Leafs added Zach Bogosian. So another guy coming off the cup win, 1 year, $1 million. I think he's excited to play in Toronto. Another right-handed D-men moving around. So Toronto finally gets another solid RHD bottom pairing guy. He could play he was playing with Hedman, so I mean, he can play wherever.
Yeah. And another aspect is that Bogosian's a fairly physical guy as well, so he gives them another physical presence on the back end to help mitigate some other teams' offensive threats.
Still a ways to go here, but Radek Faksa re-signed with the Stars. 5-year deal, 3.25. That's amazing value, I think. He was really noticeably not playing in the finals. I think he's a really great player for them. So I think a consensus online was this, everybody was happy that this was a great deal. Steve Yzerman signed, on behalf of the Red Wings, signed Vladislav Namestnikov, 2-year, $2 million deal. So another capable NHLer coming in, filling up the lineup, getting guys who are quality in there.
And again, reunited with Steve Yzerman. Namestnikov would have played under Yzerman down in Tampa Bay when they were both there, and so it's a nice familiar reuniting of a relationship. And like you said, Namestnikov's a solid two-way forward. He'll help with the defensive side of Detroit's game for sure.
Kyle Clifford leaving Toronto. He signed with the Blues, 2 years, $1 million AAV. This next one was a bit of a surprising one. Yesterday is Taylor Hall, as everyone expected, to the Buffalo Sabres on a 1-year, $8 million deal.
I think my first response was literally like, wait, what? Because I couldn't, like, because it sounded like Hall was going to take a short-term contract to go play on a contender, you know, like Colorado, to try and win a cup, because that's what he wanted right now. But he goes to Buffalo. Now, today,
are you saying they're not a contender, Sean?
Not really. They might be a couple years. The Buffalo Jack Eichels might be a couple years away from that. But
are you saying that Cody Eakin doesn't put them over the edge and make them a contender?
Listen, if we were playing like NHL 20 in the franchise mode, then it might put them from rebuilding to hopeful or something, whatever the transition there is, you know. But it came out today, Taylor Hall put up a little, why I came to Buffalo or why I chose Buffalo. And it basically boils down to him wanting to play for Ralph Kruger again. And I talked about this with Buffalo last offseason, that Kruger is an amazing coach and he's going to do a great job with the Buffalo Sabres, helping them rebuild. And his presence is attracting players because they just like playing for him. They think he's a great guy. And Hall, in this little article, recounted this time they were on the plane after a game and Kruger came up, sat by him, expecting him to talk about like game tape or like, you know, coaching type stuff. But he just sits down and asks Taylor Hall how he's doing as a person, nothing hockey related, but just helping relate to your players and feeling valued as a person. So for Hall to want to go play for this coach for a year, you know, yeah, he gets to go and play with Jack Eichel, yeah, and, you know, probably put up an amazing offensive year to boost his value for next offseason. But, you know, it's kind of a cool little thing to want to be reunited with a coach and go to Buffalo to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that Buffalo fans aren't getting their hopes too high and just going to get crushed again. How many times can that happen? But I mean, this is kind of exciting because it is like, when was the last time that like one of the biggest fish in the market went to Buffalo, right? Like, that's kind of cool. Maybe it'll spark some more interest in going there. So
no, for sure. I mean, you've got one player who says he wants to go there, chooses Buffalo, chooses to go play for Kruger. He's gonna be able to spread the word around.
Absolutely, yeah. Jimmy Vesey signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs, 1 year, $900K, so another depth guy for them. How far Vesey has fallen, hey, after all of the hype, and to sign a 1 year, $900K deal is...
Yeah, it's kind of... I feel like that's kind of like a last shot type thing before he's in the minors or in Europe.
Matthias Janmark, coming off the finals with Dallas. He signed with Chicago on a 1 year, $2.25 deal. Solid deal for Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one for them. After his performance in the playoffs and the cup finals, that's going to be a great great midline forward for them, help with all facets of the game.
Ryan Graves re-signed with the Colorado Avalanche, 3 years, $3.16 billion. Nice to tie him up for a few years. I think he was like league leader in plus minus.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good price for a defender who can do what he does. He seems to be developing into a solid, reliable guy. He's probably about a second pairing, and that's a great price.
Tyler Toffoli, we kind of mentioned this one. Here's the exact details. It was a four-year, $4.25 million deal with Montreal Canadiens. And just like the Stetcher deal, this was kind of one of those, like, Vancouver, why not?
Yeah. I mean, you go and spend that much to bring a guy in at the trade deadline, and then you let him walk for, you know, $4.2 million.
And after he was very vocal about wanting to stay too.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. I mean, for Minnesota, this is great because they now have like three excellent forward lines that could probably.
You mean Montreal?
What did I say?
Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay,
this is really great for Minnesota. I was like, what are you? Why?
It's great for Montreal. They have three excellent forward lines now. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they split time between those three lines. But they'll be able to outmatch a lot of teams with that.
Yeah, Montreal is looking like they might have a solid team next season. Like, they're looking like they could be – I think they'll make playoffs. But a few more here to go through. Eric Gustafson signed with the Philadelphia Flyers, 1 year, $3 million. So I think this is very much a replace Matt Niskanen kind of deal.
Which is kind of weird because Eric Gustafson isn't, no, he's not, he's a defenseman.
He's not going to be responsible. So they're going to have Gostisbehere, who is like, has not gotten back to where he was, Gustafson. So I think they may have a bit of a liability on the back end. We'll see how he plays in there. And then Corey Schneider signed with the New York Islanders on a very cheap 1 year, $700K deal. So I don't know if the Islanders will be as good at keeping the puck out of the net with just Varlamov and Schneider now. But that's a pretty low risk contract for the Islanders. It's so cheap, and then it's just 1 year. So if it doesn't work.
Yeah. And for Schneider as well, I mean, if there's any team he could go to that's going to have a chance at helping, like, rejuvenate his career a bit, it's going to be the Islanders, because he can play behind a very solid defensive team, and that'll help him have an easier workload and make more saves.
Yeah, and I don't know if Ilya Sorokin, that's their defense, or their goalie prospect, I don't know if he'll be able to join the team or not this season, but he's been super hyped up, so if he comes over and Schneider doesn't play, that whatever. And then another huge name, this one came out just before we started recording, and we're still don't know really what to think about it, is Alex Pietrangelo signed with the Vegas Golden Knights on a 7 year, $8.8 million annual average value contract. And I don't know how they fit him in.
How do they keep getting away with this?
Exactly. Why?
Like every year they've got some big free agent or big acquisition that just keeps adding to it, and they somehow still manage to fit them under the cap. And this year it's going to be a bit tricky because they're currently about $7 million over the cap as of right now. And they haven't yet been able to unload Marc-Andre Fleury or Nate Schmidt or any of the slightly overpaid forwards they have.
So in the offseason, you're allowed to go 10% over the cap. So they're just under that at that $7 million. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've – this is weird because it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse for me, because they've signed the guy that they wanted, but they haven't made the room yet. So now when they're trying to get rid of people to make the room, it's going to be a lot harder to make a deal happen, or – they will have to give up something to shed some cap space. So if they're trying to get rid of Fleury, they're going to have to get rid of somebody good. They're going to have to get rid of, you know, Cody Glass or some other prospects. So I don't know. I mean, if they buy out Fleury, I don't know if they'd have enough room with the payouts that they'd have to make.
No, they wouldn't. They'd still be a million or two short. But yeah, I mean, I said they weren't able to unload any of their overpaid forwards. They did get rid of Stastny, so that freed up like $6 million for them. But like you said, they've got the cart before the horse, and now other teams kind of know what the situation is. They can use that to their advantage and get extra out of the cap dump. Like, I think they were trying to unload Fleury with a second round pick for basically nothing, and there weren't really any takers. So that's gonna be interesting over the next month or two here to see what they can work out. But for Vegas' roster though, like having Petrangelo and Shea Theodore on the same blue line.
Nasty. Absolutely nasty. I remember saying that the price that teams were asking for Fleury, like a first round and a second round and like cap retained, was like outlandish, but now it's like, well, you can ask for whatever you want now because they have to make a deal happen. And I was telling you before we started recording that what's stopping every other team in the league from just saying, we're not going to help you out, and then now they're not cap compliant and they have to forfeit games?
That would be such a wild card for the season, to have every other team just banned against Vegas to have them forfeit games. that would be such an interesting storyline.
Because it seems like they've done it twice now, because they signed Leonard before Fleury was gone, and now they've signed Petrangelo before Fleury was gone. So who are they going to sign next, and be how much over the cap are they going to be? Like, it's so weird.
Honestly, if I were Jarmo Kekalainen right now with all that cap space, I'd be all over that, getting some of those draft picks back. Obviously, you don't want to put Fleury over top of Korpisalo or Merzlikins, but that's a great opportunity to, you know, even just trade for him, buy him out, and then get a whole bunch of draft picks and a prospect or something out of Vegas.
Yeah, I don't understand this. I think, the team is probably going to make out very well with this situation, though. Should be interesting. That's most of the signings. We didn't cover absolutely every single one, but that was most of the signings that have happened in the last few days here. Looking forward to seeing what else happens. But so far, do you think that there's been any winners in signings or trades?
So for winners, they didn't do anything big, but I want to point Nashville as a bit of a winner here, because last year they kind of struggled with their bottom end defensemen. They were kind of rotating through a few. They weren't the greatest. They needed to improve there, and they bring in Mark Borgiecki and Matt Benning, who are both great in that position. They're going to be a huge upgrade for them. Very reliable, very steady guys, and they kind of won on that end by addressing a big need. Buffalo as well. They brought in a lot of experienced guys to address specific needs and help kind of fill out the whole team aspect. And they bring in one of the biggest fish in the sea, Taylor Hall. So that's going to be a big add for them as well.
Yep. Yeah. I think I agree with Buffalo for sure. Hopefully they can kind of turn it around. They've still got quite a bit of space, I believe. So maybe they're not done yet. I don't know if there's anyone really huge left. I know like Mike Hoffman's still available, Sammy Vatanen, Michael Granlund. So there's still a few, you know, bigger name UFAs. Most of the super big ones are already gone, but they could still add a few more guys. And then I think Detroit and Ottawa have been doing a pretty good job as teams that really didn't do very well last year, but adding some more talent to the team, and particularly in Detroit's case, just, you know, kind of adding some more talent to the team and just some guys that have been around and can add more of a veteran presence to the team and still compete night in, night out, and then guys that they can probably flip at the deadline, which I'm sure that's probably Steve Yzerman's plan, is just to sign these guys for cheap deals that other competitive teams could easily accommodate, and then get some more picks, and then just trust the system and develop and get better. And I think that's probably what the way that they're going.
Yeah, and we've seen in the past Yzerman does know how to rebuild a team. It might take a few years, but he knows what he's doing. So it's he probably has a very, like you just described, a very meticulous plan on exactly what the purpose of signing all of these guys is.
Yeah, because they're good deals for Detroit. But Detroit's got a lot of cap space. But, you know, at the deadline, these guys are going to be so cheap because they're such good contracts that they're going to be appealing to teams, or they're going to be worth something. So they can make something out of nothing, basically, by signing some UFAs to good deals. And they've still got like $20 million in cap space, so they could sign a lot more guys. Ottawa has got to do some more work. They've only got, like 3 forwards signed, you said?
It was that when we recorded last. I don't know what they've done since. They're not yet a team.
Probably not anything crazy, yeah. So they've got to get up to the cap floor, and then they'll have a lot more cap space. So, you know, they could be a team that looks to Vegas, too, and make something happen because they've got a lot of room. Okay, so that's kind of winners. Now let's get to the always juicier losers.
I'm just going to butt in for 2 seconds really here. Ottawa has 7 forwards signed for next season now.
Ooh.
I think that's mostly just bringing up guys from the minors.
That's about half. Okay, so why don't we talk about the losers? Because that's always juicier to go over.
Absolutely.
I know one team definitely sticks out for me.
Yep.
And that is Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. They are my big loser as well. They are so much worse on paper than they were 5 days ago.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there shaking your head. That's about it, right?
Yeah, we were talking about how before that Vancouver had a real possibility of turning into that, you know, Oilers type team from about a decade ago of just having a little bit of success and then just turning into a dumpster fire, for lack of a better term. And that's happening with Vancouver. They're just absolutely terrible asset management. They've lost so much talent in the last few days, and
they have absolutely nothing to show for it. Like, they've lost all that, and I don't think they've really brought anybody in to even mitigate some of that. Like, they're so much worse than they were.
I don't know if their plan, like, they've lost, like, one of the key, like, core guys from the team is Tanev.
Long time Canuck. Like, the identity of the team. Been there for years. Markstrom's been there for years too. Everyone loved him.
Yeah. Stetcher, local guy. Brings a lot of heart to the rink. I know that they have to re-sign Pettersson, and but yeah, I think that they had a little bit of the team overachieved this year, and it's gonna be bad.
You know, moving into free agency, they were focused really strongly on getting Oliver Ekman-Larsson in a trade. And I kind of wonder if they put way too much faith into that coming through or that happening, and then they just completely neglected the rest of the roster in their quest for that.
Yeah, I think they did, because, I mean, there were so many rumors and so many questions to Jim Benning about that trade, and then there was the whole deadline of Friday came and went, nothing happened, and then, all the guys that you didn't talk to signed somewhere else.
Yeah,
they didn't want to wait.
Well, they're either that, or they were told that's not happening because they were trying to free up the money for Ekman-Larsson.
It's pretty bad. The Toffoli one is really bad. Just absolutely terrible asset management on that. Just brutal to give up as much as they did, and then only have him for so many games. And then the guy was vocal; he wanted to stay, and then he signs for a very reasonable contract somewhere else. It's just, I think Benning's. Benning doesn't bring in something huge, like, he's got to go.
Yeah, he's probably on the hot seat.
I think this offseason was just brutal. Absolutely brutal. Like, this is probably going to set him back a couple years.
Of course.
I think. Terrible. I mean, Holtby's deal is good. It's definitely designed to not appeal to Seattle. In the expansion draft, but I think the goaltending won't be the issue for this team. It's going to be everything else. So Vancouver is definite loser, but does anybody else stand out to you as a team that's kind of gone astray here?
they are doing okay generally, but I want to mention Columbus in the loser category for now, because they freed up all that cap space. They gave up two really good assets in Ryan Murray and Marcus Nudavara for basically nothing, and they haven't done anything with it. That they didn't win on any of the major free agents. They lost out on most of the big ones, and they're just sitting there on all of this money and they haven't done anything with it as of the 12th of October. So maybe they've got something in the works for later on. Oh, you're motioning there. What's going on?
Vancouver Canucks acquire Nate Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
In exchange for a 2022 third round pick.
Wow.
This must have just happened.
Yeah, that
Sean.
Just happened. Okay.
So Nate Schmidt has a cap hit of $5.95 million
for I think 5 or 6 more years.
Let's see. He is signed until 2024-25, has a modified no-trade clause, the 10-team no-trade list. The Canucks will now have Nate Schmidt, Braden Holtby, and Jay Beagle. Hello, Capitals. Reunited.
Okay.
And it feels so
good. This, remember, we were just talking in the past there about Vegas being absolutely fleeced because Vancouver or other teams know what their position is, so... You get Nate Schmidt, who's a fairly, as far as I'm aware, fairly reliable defenseman for, you know, middle pairing, probably top in Vancouver, for a third round pick. So that's probably a trend that we'll see over another trade or two.
I love it. I love this trade.
Yeah.
I mean, we predicted the future and we saw it live. that is a steal for a defenseman that's signed for a number of seasons.
Yeah.
Just a third. Yeah. So he's got this upcoming season and then 4 more seasons. So that's a pretty good acquisition for the Canucks. Does it make up for everything
Not
else?
Yet.
No.
We'll see what else is in store.
But yeah, they've got to add something to replace the offense of Toffoli. So I don't know what their cap situation looks like now.
One and a half to 2 million left. They have 2 million in projected space right now. And then they still have Adam Gaudette and Jake Virtanen to re-sign, if they do. Which you just mentioned, Virtanen's filed for arbitration. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
They might be looking strongly at trying to trade out Brandon Sutter's cap hit. If I think they had him in already. Because that would free up the 4.5 to 5 that they would need.
I was just gonna say that I'm surprised he's not.
Well,
on
Vegas
this
wouldn't take the cap back. They needed to make it, but yeah,
I know. But if the numbers were just right, maybe they could have taken him. Nate Schmidt being 6, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, the Canucks aren't done. I think Vegas will still probably shop Fleury. Yeah, so Canucks, well, I mean, we got to tell them that they're losers more and see what they do.
As an Oilers fan, I'm going to start calling them a winner and see what happens. one more signing that I wanted to mention, because I think it might actually be a good one for them. As right after I finished talking about Columbus being losers so far in the trade deadline, or the free agency, they also did bring in Mikko Koivu for a bit of a cheap contract for a year. So he'll be a good depth player, a great veteran leader for them, and as long as his knees can hold out for the year, he should be a productive mm-hmm. guy as well. So that was the last one for me, and I think that wraps things up here for this time on Clappercast. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to our show on any podcast platform, and spread around the good word of Clappercast. To keep up to date with the latest content, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Clappercast Media or on Twitter at Clappercast. How has your team fared so far this offseason? Let us know on social media, and we'll be back next week with more hockey talk.